When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have the ability to take that payment any way your customer is choosing to take the payment. It's no longer omni-channel commerce or all-encompassing commerce. It's whatever you have, we will take. That should be the thought process in the small business owner mind.
Hey, welcome back to Millionaire University. This is Eric Fisher, and I am thrilled to bring you a conversation with Vlad Sadovsky. He's the CEO of the digital bank Netevia. He's going to inform us about the financial landscape that has evolved since COVID. And we're going to talk about how small business owners can convey trustworthiness to their customers and dive into some of the financial things that come along with running or starting a business. What are things that you can be doing right now as you're preparing to start a business financially, paying off debt, dreaming of a next big startup, and all the while being good at adapting. And don't miss Vlad's advice on understanding the reasons that you're starting your business. So put your hands together for Vlad Sadovsky. I always like to start with the person's story. I want to hear a little bit about how you got involved in the financial arena, because most small business owners, they'd be like, oh, he's in banking. He's got money. He can do whatever he wants to. But that's not how it's always been.
No, it's never been like that. I actually got involved by an accident, by the fact that my English wasn't as perfect 30 years ago as it is right now. And my cousin wanted to sign up people for college student credit cards. And he walked up to the guy. The guy gave him a number for Citibank. And because his English was so bad, they said, you know what, we don't understand what you're saying, but we're going to direct you over to a place where they set you up with the credit cards. And it turned out to be a payments division of Citibank to set up people to accept credit cards. And my cousin got hired, and I got hired as an installer to do the installations because they needed somebody to do the installations and of those credit card terminals, which are very common today. Back in the days, it was not the case. And that's how I got started. And the rest is, I guess, is history. One thing led to the other.
As the CEO of Netevia, you're doing a lot of cool things that are, I would say in some ways, you've said, actually, that they're born out of consumer / business owner habits you've seen that kind of were born out of the pandemic.
Right after the pandemic, we entered the brave new world of digital neobanking. So we now are digital bank, neobank, besides doing payments and acceptance for small businesses. We do the digital bank cards and bank accounts for you never to visit the branch. And that was born through the COVID. People realized that, hey, I can do majority of my stuff, bill payments and what else, without ever going to the branch. And I will go to the branch when I need my mortgage or anything else like that. We started to capitalize on that trend. And we came out with a product in 2023 for small businesses. Of course, we have competition, but it's been a hit. Can't complain.
Very cool. You talk a lot about this thing called wallets, not just bank accounts. I'd love for you to unpack that a little bit, the way that business owners should be thinking about it, as well as how those business owners can be thinking about it as their customers are walking around with all these different wallets. And, you know, I think that ultimately people are like, wait, I don't have that many wallets. Well, you do. You just don't think about it that way.
Correct. And that's reality of today's brave new digital world. What's the closest thing that you have besides the actual wallet where you had your cash on today is your phone. Inside your phone, you have different applications. You have a Cash App. You have a Venmo. Any one of these applications are actually a digital wallet because it stores the information, financial information, by which you can act and pay for any necessities you need. So if you walk up to Burger King and you want a burger, you get yourself payment on a wallet by applying your phone. If you want to send money to somebody, you go to your Cash App or to your Venmo and you send money and you go into those respective wallets. You want to buy cryptocurrency. There's a one popular one called Coinbase. That's another wallet. So it's places where you store money. And what better way to name it as a wallet, because that's what associates you with storing money for the longest time, as long as I can remember myself.
With this shift with wallets, with the different options and the optimizations of using digital banking primarily and going in only when you rarely have to, how do you feel small business owners or business owners should be thinking about their cash flow, their relationship to their customers, their relationship to their banks, their loans? How does all that factor in? What's that new perspective?
The new perspective is pretty much growing on the business owner today. If you think about it, 78% of people now do banking on their phone. 78% of people. Just think about that number. We live in a 300 million people country. 78% of people. That's over 200 million people. And that happened in a very, very short period of time. To think about it 10 years ago that this is going to be the case, it's unthinkable. 78 million people actually members of the Cash App, as an example. Right. Of course, the way that the small business owner should be thinking about it is, how do I take the payment and go beyond the traditional ways of taking the payment? Have the ability to take that payment any way your customer is choosing to take the payment. It's no longer omni-channel commerce or all-encompassing commerce. It's whatever you have, we will take. That should be the thought process in the small business owner mind. If it's a Cash App, if it's an Affirm, if it's Zelle, if it's Venmo, if it's a regular credit card, if it's a regular debit card, if it's an Apple Pay, whatever it is, sales is what's driving the economy. Small businesses are especially the case. And so the ability to accept the payment is sitting right next to the paying your utility bill. So your doors and your lights are up. And so ability to accommodate the customer in their most convenient way of giving you that money is what the small business owner should be thinking about.
So they should look beyond just saying, hey, plug your debit or your credit card number in here, because they've got to pull that out of their physical wallet, if they even have it on them, and start to type in, plug in those things, especially, which can be hard. But you're saying, as business owners, we should make it to where you can click the button and it'd be pay with Zelle, pay with Cash, pay with Affirm, pay with Venmo, just do the PayPal even, for that matter. Click all these, and actually PayPal's most of the businesses I see, they've got that option built in there.
Yes. Look, at the end of the day, you don't know where the customer has that money, and they definitely don't have it in their physical wallet anymore. How many people do not carry cash? I don't carry cash. I forgot when was the last time I was carrying cash. And so I always feel bad. So for about a good year, I couldn't look up to the hotel butlers in the eyes because I didn't have cash and I didn't know how to pay them with tips. So one day I just walked up and I said, look, I don't have cash. How do I give you a tip? And the guy turns out, opens up the phone and gives me a QR code from a Cash App. And that's when I knew I am graduated to a tipless environment on the physical side. And now I'm in a digital environment of tips. And now every time I go to a hotel, the thing is I'm asking for is, do you have Venmo or Cash App? And they always give it to me. And I always take the QR code and I have no problems paying tips for anybody that helps me with my luggage.
That's brilliant. I'm glad you finally got over that. I will carry cash on purpose just to say, okay, there I go. I've got it. But yeah, that's, again, it's these kinds of shifts that are just happening. Again, it's like that 78% number that you were throwing out there earlier. I'm curious, let's shift gears here a little bit. Entrepreneurs, they're starting something, they're growing it, they're either building it to sell it and move on to the next idea, or because they're a serial entrepreneur and take that capital from the last thing and move it into the next thing or diversify. But if they're just getting started and it's like they don't really have capital together yet to start the thing, but they want to start the thing, how do you suggest they start to go about doing that? Do they start something, scratch, make it do, in other words, start a spark with something small and just let it build slowly over time? How do they start to work with or build capital from the get-go and manage it smartly?
First of all, I'm an East Coast entrepreneur. I'm not a Silicon Valley entrepreneur. I don't talk to the investors that are looking for the next Facebook and they're willing to throw money at me at any idea. as long as it comes out of me, right? I like to see substance, and I provide substance whenever I talk about a business that I want to be involved with. So understand, first of all, what are the reasons you're starting a business with? Are you trying to solve a problem? Do you feel passionately about a specific field? What's the motivation for you to do it? That's number one question. Second question, now it comes to how do I fund that business? If you're passionate about it, then you need to understand what's the capital that's going to take and then translate that passion into a presentation to put it in front of the right people. People that are investing in the ideas. Good news about the internet today, plenty of people you could find today that are looking for money to be deployed to the right ideas. And most of the time, guys like me, for example, we don't look at whether idea you have is stupid or not. If you're starting out, we're going to look at you, how passionate you are, what experience you have, how relevant it is to the marketplace, and what problem are you solving. And we'll probably give you $50,000 just to start and then see if the proof of concept actually works. This is how the top VCs in the country have funded the Facebooks that I mentioned before. It started with an idea and a passion. And so getting a good business plan done, and no, do not go to the business planner. Just write it up yourself. Use ChatGPT for crying out loud. Okay? I will admire that if I'm the entrepreneur sitting on the other side. And then read it. Understand that you understand what you wrote or what ChatGPT wrote for you. And then try to pitch it to your close relatives. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your close friend that you trust with all your business ideas because everybody else do not understand it. Try it on somebody for them to make sure that they understand what you're talking about. And once you do, then either try to pitch the parents. And if you don't have the financial resource or parents don't have the financial resources, they'll be proud to try to get you to introduce in front of people that do have some financial resources. And if that's not the case, then go online. And there's plenty of resources of how you go and pitch your idea. It's probably the best advice I can do. We guys that have these type of opportunities in front of us, we're always looking for new ideas. We're always trying to fund the next entrepreneur with the next craziest idea they have.
I love it. And that's a lot of the reason why I see you're a good fit as CEO of Nativia, because you cater to a certain extent to not just, you aren't just doing the payment processing, but you're offering small businesses a service in the suite of things that you do.
We want to create an ecosystem. And our goal is to be able to empower those small business owners with all of the modern financial tools they can possibly need when not only starting the business, but when they're extending the business. And all our products that we are really trying to put out on the marketplace, every one of our new products and existing products are geared towards how do we make your life better? How do we make your life easier? How do we create that one-click experience so that you can look at us and project it to your customers and say, I want to have the same experience to my customers. That's why my business is going to be successful, and that's why it's going to flourish. Besides the fact that I know what I'm doing when in the field that I am, whether I'm making cakes or I am doing a code or I am advertising online, whatever it is, you're already good at it. We already know that. We just want you to feel the experience that you would appreciate. And at the same time, we want you to have the same experience to your customers and say, hey, there's a Nativia out there. I got a good experience from her, from that company. Yeah, I call it her, by the way. We wanted to have the same experience to our customers. So we're trying to play a role model for the customer as well as trying to give them the best experience they can have.
It sounds like what you're wanting to do is give small business owners the ability to not just convey trustworthiness through solid backbone of support, but actually be trustworthy, because that's what it really comes down to, right? The customer wants to be able to trust who they're purchasing from.
And it's especially if you're running a local business, right? It's your local community. People know who you are. reputation is everything. And I think that's the mantra that I try to live with. And I try to make sure that whatever the decision is, good, bad, it's supported by a thought process that I would look back and say, you know what? Yeah, I would probably do this again the same exact way.
Yeah. In other words, you don't look back with any regret. You look forward with the experience of whether it went right or not, you made the right choice.
I try to make decisions that I would not regret. That's probably the way to put it.
Along in your journey, there were points where there was like credit card debt or loans or different things like that. How does that play into that? And how has that shaped your perspective?
Well, listen, there was a point in my career where I started a business and we had one of the customers defrauded us for about $50,000. And I had $90,000 worth of debt. And at that point, I basically had as a scenario whether I should pay that credit card debt and negotiate, do whatever I can, or just leave it alone, maybe declare bankruptcy and things of that nature. One thing that I really admire, this country in particular, and the financial system we have is if you pay your debts and the more you pay, the more credit people will give you because the trust is growing. You could say that, oh, we're putting people in debt indefinitely, etc. I say that people that know how to manage debt are get ahead in life a lot faster, at least within this environment in this country. This is what this country lives on. The United States of America can allow you to live better because you can afford things like leasing, financing, mortgage. All they're asking you to do, and the entire system is allowing you to do that, say, look, pay your debt on time, figure it out. You got into a problem, you can't pay, then a lot of things in your life are not going to be there. But if you create a scenario under which you can pay off a debt, make a payment plan, do something about it, the effort will be rewarded. So if you're in debt and if you're listening to this, figure out a plan to get out of debt, number one. Number two, if you can't get out completely, make a plan that gets you out of debt and execute financial discipline.
Yeah, I think that's important for you to say because I'm glad to hear you say that first and foremost because I think there's a lot of business owners who they want to get into this entrepreneurial one because they're not employable by anybody else because they can't work for a boss. They have to be their own boss. But two, that then also means they may not have the right hats. They wear all of them, but they may not have this one when it comes to this specific area we're talking about. And so they need help there. And so as they go or as they've gotten in and they've dug in maybe too deep, it's not too late to start over or at least course correct, in other words.
Totally, totally. I had a choice to make whether I pay off my debt or leave it alone. I decided to pay off. I got more credit lines than I asked for after I paid it off. And I've enjoyed that opportunity to have money available to me at any time by my credit card, by my debts, providers, or anybody else, because everybody knows we always pay whatever we finance. And that allows you to have a more financial capital at your disposal, allows you to execute on projects better, and allows you to make eventually more money.
And ultimately, it keeps the headaches out because you're not drowning in debt and anxiety and trying to figure out how to take care of it.
Sometimes you are. I mean, look, COVID was hard for everyone, right? We had debt during COVID. The good news is because you have a reputation, I have a reputation, and we had a $10 million line. We had a lot of restaurants in our portfolio of clients, and our numbers went drastically down. We're talking 80% down in the first month of COVID. I called up my debt providers and I said, guys, I know that our agreements are not the case, but this is extraordinary times. I always pay. And it's important to have that type of relation, by the way. Sometimes it's not the bank will actually go by the rules, but even banks don't want to take hits on the books. So they'll actually work it out and figure it out what to do. And I was able to renegotiate my terms and they gave me time because nobody wants to have a loss in their books. They would rather take a person with a reputation that can pay it off. People that think that the old-fashioned financing does not exist, that people don't trust, they go by the book, they're out there to screw you, etc., that's not entirely true. I totally disagree with that position. I believe that if you're dealing with lenders, whether it's private or public or banks, etc., they will listen to what you have to say. Maybe not to the degree that it was in the 1960, 1970, where you sat down in front of a banker and he knew your family and everything else. But COVID proved to me, at least to me, that this service does still exist and people still listen and they're willing to help and they're willing to believe and trust in you and your business.
If somebody were to come to you right now, you sitting at a coffee bar or something, and they come up and you just happen to start talking and you ask them what they're doing, and they're like, I'm just getting started with this brand new business. And then they find out who you are and they ask you, okay, what advice would you give me through all your experience for me as someone who's just getting started in business? What should I do? How do I make the right choices? What's the guidance that you give them?
Number one reason. Understand why you're starting a business. Are you passionate about it? Do you want to make money? Or do you just feel it as, I have nothing else to do, but I'll start a business? If your reason is right, and you're prepared to be passionate about it and think about that business 24/7, then start a business and you'll be successful. If you're starting a business for reasons that are outside of your passions, outside of your abilities to live it, especially in the beginning, especially when you're starting it out, and you want to do this part-time or et cetera, then if this is your first time business, I would tell you, save your money and go get a job. That's the advice I would give them.
You know, you want them to land on the right thing, that you want them to continue to save and prepare and gain experience and work ethic for that matter. And then when they come along something, you know, as they ideate and come up with options, that when they land on something, they're like, oh, that's it. I'm ready to throw all in on that.
Yes. So a lot of times people that say that's it and I'm ready to throw in all that, they are not prepared to throw it all in. They give up in 2-3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And you talk to the same people a year down the road. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was that. Yeah, that was then. But now I'm getting it. It's okay to make the mistakes, but you really need to go all in if you're really want to start a business. There's no halfway. It's all in. If you're not sure, get a part-time business. Do this part-time. Do this transition period for yourself. But do not try to go all in when you don't actually mean it.
That's great advice. I'm glad to hear you say that. I know that we're going to talk again soon, you and me and your daughter, and talk about her entrepreneurial thoughts and endeavors with you. Before we do that, I wanted to ask, as we close out here, talk a little bit more about Nativia and where people can go to find out more about that and you.
Oh, it's very simple. www.nativia.com, and you can learn about all of our services. Contact us anytime. And then me specifically, Vlad Sadowski on LinkedIn. You can find me there all the time. I practically live it. This is my one more bedroom. Vlad Sadowski, LinkedIn, connect. Send a message. I'm always available.
Perfect. I'm sure that our listeners will definitely take advantage of that. And I will have that listed in the show notes for them to jump on and talk with you. Vlad, thank you so much for talking with us. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was a great conversation with Vlad. But I want to tease you that I've got another one coming up where his daughter joins us. She's 15. She's working towards getting out of high school early and has some interesting conversations with her father about her entrepreneurial ideas. So I want to tease that one and say, if you liked this episode, you're going to love that one because getting that perspective gives some really awesome takeaways. I hope that you found this class helpful. And if you did, hit that share button wherever you're listening to this. Share it with the world on your socials, with a friend, with a coworker, with your partners. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being on time. And until next time, class dismissed.